Well, certainly like to see good paying jobs. Construction jobs are important in this community. I know that there's the hope that we can get a casino in the Rockford area to promote those good paying jobs. If we can get people in the workforce doing the construction jobs and ultimately have the jobs to sustain a facility like the casino, and then continue to have businesses that build up around a casino in the area, that's a starting point. Beyond that, we need to make sure we attract new talent to the area and grow our workforce. And these are things I strive for as a Democratic senator. I think they have a lot of roles to play, but ultimately it's important for Springfield to allocate the appropriate funds to this area and projects to create these jobs. If you have the right projects, for instance, in the Rockford area around the west side or southwest Rockford, you can work around improving South Main, also West State. You certainly will have the construction jobs out there, and you'll have certainly people that can be put in the workforce, and that will grow our economy and revitalize the southwest part of Rockford, which is important. Well, you know, there are always, obviously, as a Democrat, you look at alternative energy and ways to have green jobs, and we want to focus on that. I think Illinois has to be a little more forward-thinking on that type of job creation. I'd look at that when I'm in Springfield. But the key issue in this election is jobs. You know, keeping the good-paying jobs we have and attracting new talent and focusing on that. And we've talked about you know, some of the ways to do that. And certainly, if I'm privileged enough to be the Democratic nominee and ultimately state senator, I'll go to Springfield, and that'll be my number one priority, and strive to make sure we have those jobs in this area and maintain them.
Let's talk about education. What direction should the state follow to support K through 12?
Well, you know, education is obviously a crucial issue. My mother, being a retired teacher for 34 years in the Harlem District, instilled in me the importance of a good education. And certainly I've been privileged to go on all the way through law school and be an attorney in private practice. We have to find a way to better fund education here in Illinois, but not pit the teachers and against the community. I'm concerned with current legislation that's being proposed to address our pension issues and funding. How that does that. It does pit, I think, the teachers and state workers against the community. The legislation I'm referring to is Senate Bill 512, which is a three-tier system, and it puts more emphasis on 401ks and that type of investment versus a true pension that, you know, state workers and teachers have relied on. My thought on that is if you, as a state worker or teacher or those in the system, you're getting paid less money generally in your years of working, you're relying on a reasonable pension at the end. If now you get paid less as the average worker in private sector, and then you're told, by the way, we're going to cut your benefits, that's not fair. And certainly if there's a contractual obligation the state has with its workers and teachers, the state better honor that obligation. And I would make sure we do that. I'm, I think, more than offended that the leadership is suggesting that we don't honor those contracts. If you didn't think that it was a good contract in the first place, you shouldn't have entered into it. And that's why collective bargaining is key, and we have to keep that here in Illinois.
And what other sorts of things should the state do about educational, the administrative, the support structure for education in the state?
Find more funding sources for education. You know, the governor, I think, is proposing shifting the burden more on school districts for education funding. I'm against that idea. I think that's the wrong approach. We have to sit down at the table, both Republicans and Democrats and independents, and figure out a better way of doing this. And certainly it doesn't help if for the last 30-plus years the leadership across the board, regardless of party, has dipped into the pension funds and raided it and underfunded our pension, underfunded our schools. Public schools are crucial, which is why I'm against the idea of vouchers. We have to promote our public schools and help fund them and make sure the curriculum is where it needs to be and give our teachers the tools they need to educate our students, make sure the appropriate class sizes and the appropriate resources for our teachers, because they're the foundation of our children. And at an early age, my mother, again, being a second-grade teacher, you know, K through 3, a crucial age for children, and to make sure they have those tools to adequately educate our children, give them that foundation, is something that I would strive for as state senator.
Higher education, college level and beyond, what do you see the state's role in funding that?
Well, I think you've got state schools that are out there, very good state schools. I don't want to leave any out, but, you know, obviously Northern Illinois University and U of I come to mind, and many others that are in this state. We have to make sure that we provide opportunities for students to go that don't have the income revenue coming in that other families do. Make sure the appropriate grants are available and scholarships and ways to get them in the education system at a higher level. Because a good education is crucial, as I said, at an early age, but also beyond that, to have a college education and, more importantly, to get a master's or advanced degree is important in this business climate. And, you know, we have to, you know, if some people aren't ready to go to college or aren't going to go that route, then make sure we have good technical schools in place and help them with that career path. These are things that we should focus on and make sure that we find the right type of funding to promote those programs.
And how should the state help people who are pursuing college degrees?
Well, I think, like I said, they give them the opportunity to find scholarships and grants to help them go if they don't have the financial backing to do so. I think the state can help make sure we have an honest and strong curriculum for our students at the high school level. Again, give the teachers the tools that they need to better educate our students. It's a competitive world out there, and we don't want other countries to beat out our students as we move forward, because ultimately our children are our future, and we have to make sure that they have the proper support mechanism to be ready when it comes to being in the workforce.
Moving on to health care and health insurance.
Yeah, I think the idea of health care exchanges, you know, you can do it with various states or even different countries. There was a proposal in a prior administration with working with Canada and doing exchanges, especially with seniors. I think you have to look at various ways to improve how we cover our health care costs. I mean, I know as a small business owner, I have my own health insurance, which is just unbelievably high. And I can't imagine those that have less of ability to earn an income as I do to cover the high costs that are out there. So if there's a way to have it more competitive so the insurance companies aren't a monopoly, if you will, and to allow there to be open exchanges or a competitive market, I think we certainly have to look at that as a viable option in Illinois and look at the appropriate legislation that could address that. Because the insurance companies ultimately are the ones that win here, not the patients. And the insurance companies shouldn't be the ones deciding what kind of medication you have or treatment you have. It should be the doctors that you work with and know your health situation the best. So it's appalling that the insurance companies run the show. And so if this type of legislation would change that, I'd be certainly open to supporting it. But I'd have to look at it closer.
Where would you like to see pension reform go?
Well, it's an important issue. But my concern is that we're pitting the state workers and teachers versus the community, and that shouldn't be the case. Our leadership throughout the years, both Republican and Democrat, have underfunded the pension system, have raided the pension fund, and have caused this problem. It has not been the teachers. It has not been the state workers. They have not caused this problem and not created this pension crisis in Illinois. That being said, what do we do as we move forward? Well, certainly up to this point, we fully fund the pension as promised. Certainly up to this point, the state has an obligation to its workers and teachers and others that have relied on that pension. They have a contractual obligation, a legal obligation that they have to honor and should not and cannot break. And as state senator, I would make sure that we honor those obligations, which is why I'm honored and privileged to have the support of AFSCME and their endorsement and the support and endorsement of the AFL-CIO of Illinois and the building trades and many other labor organizations, because they understand that I believe that it's crucial that we continue to have collective bargaining and that we have honest and open conversations about how we enter into these contracts and abide by them. As we move forward, we have to figure out what best works to maintain the pension funds in a way that supports the rest of the obligations in Illinois. But you have to have a seat at the table for everybody. And the leaders in Springfield can't ram it down the state workers' throats or the teachers' throats. And that's why having the labor support I have and being able to work with the leadership in Springfield as a former Democratic Party chairman of Winnebago County, I believe I can be an honest broker to help accomplish that goal and be a strong advocate in Springfield and a strong state senator. Well, the proposal now is, as I understand it, which I believe is Senate Bill 512, is a three-tier system where maybe there's a higher premium that workers put in, Maybe they have more money come out of their paycheck, or ultimately they go more into a 401k program versus the current pension system in place. I know that state workers and teachers are opposed to that proposal. I've got concerns with it as well, and I'm also concerned with whether it actually violates the Illinois Constitution as it exists. And I believe State Senate President Cullerton has expressed some concerns with how that proposal on the table may violate the Illinois Constitution. So I think it's another example of how we have to have everybody at the table to discuss this issue and make sure it's open and honest, and that we're looking at this collectively and not trying to force it down another person's throat. That won't accomplish anything. But ultimately, if we do enter into an agreement, workers, teachers, others with the state, it should be an agreement that can be honored by the state. And that's something that, you know, I think a lesson learned. If the state leaders didn't think that we could honor our obligations, they shouldn't enter into those agreements in the first place.
Domestic energy. Do you think, or what involvement should Illinois have in addressing the domestic energy problem?
Well, Illinois should get involved in energy and look at that. I mean, I don't know of any specific legislation that's pending now, but certainly as a state senator, I'd be open to discussing the issue further and talking to the appropriate people that are experts in that area. And if it's the appropriate thing to do, be an advocate. But I'd want to learn more about the issue and do the right thing. But energy efficiency and promoting that certainly is a key thing. Well, there are good things out there, and renewable energy is key, sustainable renewable energy. I know that in the 34th District, but certainly outside of the 34th, throughout Illinois, there are wind farms, and there are other forward-thinking approaches to promoting our renewable energy source. Clean coal has been discussed. But I know that the Sierra Club has concerns with certain versions of new renewable energy and how we produce that. And I'd certainly want to study that closer. But again, I think with my support with labor and my concern for the environment, I can be an honest broker with both sides to try to find common goal and promote a more positive legislation for Illinois.
And something we've already touched on, but just to go a little further into it, labor-management relations. First of all, your position on right-to-work laws that are out there now.
Well, Illinois is not a right-to-work state, and it should remain a non-right-to-work state. Collective bargaining is important and essential, and the rights of our workers are essential. And the right to work out a contract and to strike and unionize is a fundamental right in this state, and it should remain so. So I support any and all legislation that favors the working men and women in this state and promotes collective bargaining and supports the workers and their ability to advocate for their rights.
The relationship between governments and their employee unions, how do you make that work better?
Definitely. As I might have mentioned earlier in this interview, it's important to have open and honest discussions. But the right to collective bargaining is a fundamental right and essential in this state, and how we deal with the leaders in government and our state workers, teachers, and others. That is why AFSCME has endorsed me, because they realize I support the cause of working men and women and having a good contract. If the state enters into a contract with its workers, it has to honor that. You have to honor your contractual obligation. And if you have a law that's out there, you've got to follow it. And ultimately, if we want to change things, we've got to make sure that the workers have a seat at the table, as well as the state leadership and others, to formulate contracts that we can live with. But the current contracts in place have to be honored. And for the governor or others in leadership to suggest something different, if they do so, I disagree with. If the agreement's there, honor it.
Social agenda. Just to touch on a few things there, like abortion rights. How far should the state be involved in abortion rights?
Well, I'm a pro-choice candidate and support a woman's right to choose. I have indicated to Personal PAC, a pro-choice organization, that I think one of my top priorities in the legislature is to promote the appropriate type of education in the school system for children at the appropriate ages, to make sure that children have a better understanding of sex education, if you will. I know that Personal Pact and other pro-choice organizations have put together potential legislation or are supporting legislation that's been out there along those lines, and I want to make sure we focus on that and show my support for that issue and a woman's right to choose, but more importantly, making sure we better educate our children, but in a way that is appropriate for their ages and where they're at in school. It's a delicate issue, and you obviously want to make sure you have parents involved in that, and you don't want the schools to, you know, necessarily dictate sensitive issues like that with children. But I think we're at a point in our history where there's so many temptations out there for our children as they move through the system where parents aren't around, that if we can better educate them in a safe and appropriate manner, we're going to be better off. But I'll leave that to the experts to advise me on how best to do that, but I'm certainly open to that, and that's why you know, I support what Personal PAC is doing, other pro-choice organizations.
There's now legislation that is up about same-sex marriage. Do you, what direction do you think the state should follow regarding rights for same-sex
couples? Well, I certainly support the civil union legislation that passed and is now law of the land in Illinois, and agree that we should look at where we go from here. But that's a good first start for Illinois, and it gives people the same rights under the law, and something that, you know, it's about time we did that here in this state. As far as where we go from here, you know, I think we can certainly take a look at going a step further and improving the laws in Illinois. But right now we've got to support the laws that are on the book, and as an attorney and hopefully future state senator, I'll make sure that that law is honored, and we do our best to talk with different people in Illinois and organizations, and see if we can expand that law and make it even fairer so there's equal rights for everyone.
Then here's everyone's favorite question. What's the best approach to reducing this state debt?
Well, you saved the best question for almost last year. As far as reducing the deficit, I am proposing that Illinois immediately go to a progressive or graduated tax. The flat tax doesn't work. It's not a fair system. It's not the right system for Illinois. The fact that we've gone from 3% to 5%, it's supposed to be a short-term increase. I know that there's talk that the leadership will make that permanent. I will be against that. In the short term, I think you have to leave the tax where it's at because we need that additional revenue stream. In the long term, we must go to a more fair, progressive approach where people pay their fair share at their different income levels. Certainly, as a former staff attorney for Prairie State Legal Services, where I help people with less income in their pockets and seniors that needed assistance, there's no way they can afford to pay the taxes that are in place now, and it's not fair that they're paying the same percentage of those that are millionaires or in the higher income brackets. So a graduated or progressive tax would be based on what your income level is, and we can debate as we move along at what dollar amount or level you pay the additional increase. But that, to me, is a better way of bringing in revenue and improving the financial crisis we have in Illinois, and then tighten our belts where we can. But, you know, every program is a good program to those that run that program. But certain programs we cannot afford to cut, which have been on the chopping block and, to me, are unacceptable to be cut, would be like the Singer-Owen Center in the Rockford area that provides important and crucial mental health services to people in our community. Just think of the disaster that could occur if that facility and others are closed, where the mental health patients would be put on the street or in the hospitals or other places. They would not be getting the services they need, and it would be creating a unfortunate crisis in the community. We have to keep those facilities open, and if we're going to tighten our belts, that's not where we start.
And then Why should people choose you? What sets you apart as the best choice?
My experience and background sets me apart in my ability to lead from the other candidates in this race. Being the strongest Democratic candidate as recent Democratic Party chairman, certainly always voting Democrat in comparison to others maybe running in this race. Support those in labor. I'm proud to have been driving an American-made car, which may be different from others in this race. The ability to work across the aisle, but also be a strong leader with Democratic principles. The endorsements I receive show that with labor and my ability to be there for working men and women, focusing on issues that are important in our community, such as jobs, and then ultimately, improving our education system and growing our economy. I've been privileged to be involved in different organizations in this community, which shows I have a diverse background, being on the board of Booker Washington Center in Southwest Rockford, on the board of Ethnic Heritage Museum in Southwest Rockford, understanding our roots in the community and how we need to promote those things and improve Southwest Rockford, being involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters and helping our children, my background with Prairie State Legal Services, helping single mothers and just in difficult situations and getting people out of violent situations and getting them back on their feet. And making sure that they have a positive environment for their children, helping people stay in housing and not be illegally evicted, understand the needs of working men and women at all levels, I think shows my diverse background. And now being a small business owner and sole proprietor, having to pay the payroll taxes and employment taxes and do the quarterlies and make sure that I'm there for my employees, that, among many other things, shows I have a diverse background and a strong background and am the strongest Democratic candidate with the Democratic principles to not only win the primary but win the general election and take back this seat in the 34th District that rightfully should be the seat for working men and women and should have an advocate, as I have been in my years as an attorney, to advocate for the voters, which I'll do if I'm honored enough to have the trust and vote of the voters in the 34th District to vote for me on March 20th in the Democratic primary. Again, I just think it's a very important election. This seat has been held by a Republican senator for 20 years. We have not had the influence that we need in Springfield. We have not had the clout we need in Springfield to bring the projects to this area and the revenue to this area, to create jobs and to invest in our local economy. We need someone who can be an advocate in Springfield to get those jobs here and maintain them. We need someone who can be an advocate in Springfield to be there for our teachers and state workers and to be a strong Democratic voice with Democratic principles. And I believe that I'm the best candidate for that job, and I encourage those in the Democratic primary on March 20th to vote for Dan Lewandowski as our next state senator for those reasons.